This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. It's the first Monday of March, and of course with that we have Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab. Good morning, Jeevan.
Good to be here.
It's Motivational Monday, and of course Jeevan's got today's topic is 5 keys to bring out the best in your employees. Is it Jeevan's 5 keys?
My 5 keys.
Now, do these 5 keys apply to both small size SMEs as well as larger corporations?
Yes, they apply to just about every company out there. In fact, this is something every employer wants, or every manager wants. They want to bring out the best in their employees. They want high performance. Basically, everybody wants that. And the challenge with this is there's so many complicated places to start from. For instance, if you're a manager or a business owner, you're probably thinking, okay, do I do some profiling first? And then if I do profiling, which profiling do I do? There's just millions out there that you can pick from. Or do I do some appraisals first? Or how deep do I go with my appraisal? So it's a very difficult.
I think I'm the most highly profiled individual ever.
Yeah, I think so. You've done like, what, 100, I think?
I think so. Because they're all contradictory, probably. Right?
So that's a real challenge. So what I'm doing today is I'm going to keep it very simple and yet very effective. Cut through all of that, just 5 keys, and people can apply these keys at any level of the organization as well, any kind of organization or any level of organization.
Okay. Now, when you talk about these guys, who would be the person to carry them out? CEO?
It depends on the size of the company. So if it's a small SME, in most cases, it would be the business owner, the director. And in bigger companies, it could be department heads, or it can even start from a manager downward. So say someone who's got a team, you may have a team of, say, 20 people, 30 people under you. You can start from there. So the only thing is there must be buy-in. So there's got to be some level of buy-in with some of the keys, which you'll see as we go along. Some of them don't need any buy-in at all. Like the first key is so simple, straightforward. But as you look at it, it's critical. But this can happen at any level. And as long as you have a team under you, then you're ready for the 5 keys.
Okay, now why is it so difficult to get consistent high performance from an employee?
Well, one of the reasons is structure, really. Structure is one, method is another, strategy, method. So structure meaning, sometimes when you look, when I go into companies and I go to work with them, there's really no structure or a system for an employee to perform well. And that is a challenge. For instance, let's say, just take a simple thing like team meetings. So if you take some of the smaller companies, the team meetings will be according to how the business owner feels. If I feel like I should have a meeting this week, I'll have a meeting.
And then if I'm podcast really, from 2 months
exactly,
ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some guys feel, well, this week I'm just really busy. We won't have a meeting. And then they spend a lot of time justifying why they shouldn't have one. But so there's no structure. So if you're an employee and you're used to some level of structure, this is difficult for you. But if, let's say, every Mondays at 4 p.m., there's a specific meeting which you have to attend, now that structure allows you to work. So likewise, so that's one reason. Then other reasons can be the strategies used, or simply because people aren't really thinking this thinking it through deep enough. So there can be a lot of reasons, really, for why that's
now,
the case.
Now, what about termination? Should a business consider that if there's just no fit?
Well, the Employment Act provides for that. In fact, I quite like what the Act actually says. I mean, one of the things is you've got to give warning letters and you've got to have a disciplinary hearing and all that. So you're giving this person a chance to really to improve, to work things through. But the thing that everyone needs to get clear on, if there's no fit, there's just no fit. So sometimes the employee needs to wake up to that as well. Maybe they're doing something they just don't really like doing, or they're just not really good at doing, or something to that effect.
A square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real challenge because often you'll get many business people who want to just make it all really work. And you know, when I say this, you know, if you find yourself sitting on a dead horse, then get off, you know. So, you know, sometimes you just got to wake up.
You ain't horse meat, la.
Horse meat. So sometimes you just got to get up and wake up and realize, hey, what's actually going on here? And have I really got the right people on the bus? And so that's again something that's fairly rare, because usually when you fix a lot of things beforehand, many things will get fixed along the way. You've got the keys in place, you've got structures in place, you've got everything in place. Usually that's a last resort.
Okay.
At some point, you'll come to that.
I know before we get to the 5 points, you know, we always have to. You know, so what about, like, for example, before you go to the next question, right? Do you then, you know how some people can be very good and suddenly their performance, like it could be over years, and suddenly their performance, they're not motivated anymore.
Okay, so that one would be a key four.
So we'll get to that now. Before we get to the 5 keys, do you need to work on all 5 keys at once or pick and choose?
Actually, this is a very good question. You don't. You can just pick one key, your favorite key. Start with that. That's it. Many would pick key number one. And just start with that key, you see. And some people get said, Judah, I've got to put all these five things in. Some of it can be really heavy, like key number three. But I say, look, just pick one, get started, get some momentum, get excited about the fact that you're getting increased performance, then load in the second key and load in the third key. And that's how you do it.
All right, so that was the trailer.
So let's get right in.
Key number one.
Before Frida goes on and on, and then next thing is time for the break.
Frida goes on and on.
Exactly. Okay, so key number one. First key, strategic praise and recognition. Ooh, notice the word strategic.
Strategic, not just
strategic,
praise anyhow.
Yes, not just praise anyhow, you know. Say, nice colored shirt you have there. No, strategic praise and recognition. So what am I saying with this? Why strategic praise and recognition? The two things here really, and the second one's especially important. So two things here. One, when you're going to praise someone, of course, yes, some people just misunderstand this and they will just praise someone about anything, whether it's the color of the shirt or the hair. All that's nice and fun. But what you really want to do, because we're thinking about employee performance here. So what you want to praise is actually specific qualities. So for instance, a person got a say you're a law firm and one of your staff did a fantastic agreement, put together a really, really good agreement that is in line with the act and everything. And so you don't just want to say, that's a really good agreement. Well done. No, what you want to say is you want to get very specific here. You want to say, look, I'm very impressed with how diligent you were in putting this together. You got even this, this, and this right. You got the grammar right. You aligned it with the act. And see, that's very specific. So this allows the person to know what he's getting right or what she's getting right. Sometimes the challenge with praise sometimes is we don't really know what happened there. Someone says, for instance, hey, good job. Okay, yeah, what exactly about it was a good job? So when you praise someone, get very, very specific about the quality in which you're actually praising. Is it their diligence? Is it their thoroughness? Is it their speed? How fast they got something done? Is it the quality, the specific quality in the work that they did? So you want to be as very, very specific as you can. Now, here comes the other side of things. Very often, bosses or business owners, managers, they do this kind of praise, which is actually it's not a good idea at all. It's a bad thing. What they do is, what the idea here is this: when you praise someone, don't put others down when praising someone. So, for instance, don't say this. You're the only salesperson who brings in the big deals.
Right.
You see what you just did? So you've just put everybody else
only.
Down. Yeah, only, the word only. So that presupposes everyone else is really totally terrible at this. And what that does is it creates resentment for this person being praised. And if this happens, you can see in a lot of team dynamics, bosses tend to do this without realizing it.
Yeah.
And so when you praise someone, learn to praise that person without having to put anybody else. Why go far? Even relationships, you see this happening. It can happen in families. It can happen anywhere.
Yeah. So the favorite child, that kind of thing.
Correct,
right?
Correct. It can happen with parents. It can happen with anything. So the thing is, when you praise someone, there's no reason to put somebody else down. And this, you've got to be very strategic with it. Yeah. So when you just focus on the person you're praising and keep it there, keep it within the praise. And the other thing you could do is also encourage them to share, share their win. And many people actually like that. And you can get your team to model. So one of the things that can bring a lot of performance and success is modeling performance and success. So when you already have people within your team who are performing very, very well, why reinvent the wheel? Just get this person to do a teaching session. Get them to do a mentoring session. And usually they feel very significant when they do that. They will love it as well. And that's the first key. So when you look in the first key, it's all about strategic praise and recognition. And it's about being very, very specific and not putting other people down when you're lifting someone up. So the best way to understand this is think of the rising tide concept. So rising tide concept simply means this. The rising tide lifts all ships. It doesn't choose, I don't like this ship, let's just not lift this one. It doesn't do that. So when you're doing that, you're lifting everybody up in a way, which brings us very neatly into key number two. So key number two is increased collaboration. So what does this mean? Now, this is something very important to address here. See, society encourages individual performance and glory. All of society encourages that, the individual performance, the individual glory. But what business people have to realize is this, that teams are always interdependent. They somehow have some level of your success is due to also other people in the background working on a lot of things that allows for your success to come through. See, the secret here really is bring out the best in teams, not just individuals. And Hollywood is an example, glorifies individual performance. I mean, they paved the streets with their names, with the stars and everything.
There's an award going on right now.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, they glorify individual performances all the time. So what you want to do is you want to increase collaboration within your team, and then you'll find employee performance just flies through the roof. So stop glorifying individual performers, but create collaboration, create a lot of collaboration. So how do you do that? Now, number one is create a bigger winner's circle. So create a bigger winner circle. So the goal of every organization should be to have all winners and not just some winners. So have everyone winning. So create a bigger circle. And you see, how could you get a lot of winners if the way you do recognition forces people to be losers? So have a bigger winner circle. So what do I mean? What you could do here is develop some criteria of systems that allow for this. For instance, number one, allow for an unlimited number of winners to come in. Okay, and this could be like maybe you have a joint team target or a joint department target. And if, or for instance, let's take a sales team, for instance, if everyone passes the 500K sales target each, there's a team reward that comes in. So now people are going to help each other pass that mark.
Right.
So someone has already hit 1 million in sales, but this other guy is 300,000, he's just 200,000 short. They can start to guide him as well. Because if everybody passes the half a million mark, then there's a reward. So the idea here is, number one, allow for unlimited number of winners. Number two, performers know what must be accomplished in order to earn the recognition or reward. So everyone knows that. So first, you allow for everyone to be a winner. Second, everyone knows what they must do and they must accomplish in order for them to earn the reward or the recognition. And third, a manager's success is tied to employee success. So if the employee doesn't succeed, the manager doesn't succeed. Right. It's tied. So you tie the two. Like the manager's commissions and sales, for instance, could be tied to that. So this is creating a bigger winner circle. So everyone in the company can be a winner. The problem with a lot of winning is that it's a very crowded room. And then people just have less and less. A classic example is the Olympics. You just go first, second, and third. But the fourth guy is still pretty good, you know. So, I mean, he's still fourth fastest runner in the world kind of thing. But then he gets nothing. You see, so in fact, he feels going, he goes home in shame. So you don't want, you don't want that. You want to create a much bigger winner's circle. And anyone can win provided they fulfill certain criteria, and that's it.
Okay, just before that, you know, the second point, right? What needs to be accomplished, right?
That's right.
Why? I mean, isn't that obvious?
Not really, because you see, there are a lot of assumptions in teams. The people can assume that I've been here long enough. I've been in this company for 20 years. I should be recognized. Well, no. Just because you've been around a long time, it doesn't mean you should be recognized for your performance. You could be recognized for your loyalty. So you could be recognized for something else. But so you got to look at in what's being looked at, are you fulfilling that criteria? Because you could have achieved something else. So that could be another recognition for you. In fact, you should a boss should recognize a staff who's been with him for a long time.
Yeah.
They should, but it's a different recognition, right. Something else. So again, that's another winner circle again.
You could be recognized for being a deadwood for so many years.
Yeah. But again, you know, I mean, right.
What you're saying is that be very clear what's correct. That, right? Because then people...
So I mean, the whole idea in this key is, do whatever it takes to increase collaboration between your team. Stop singling people out and just focusing on individuals. Increase collaboration. Create a bigger circle that everyone wants to get into.
Right.
And that can be extremely exciting, actually.
Okay, we'll
and
talk
about... Okay. Brings me to...
Keys three, four, and five. We'll talk about that after this. Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Five keys to bringing out the best in your employees. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Be faithful, men. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. Frida Liu here and Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. First Monday of the month, and we're talking about the five keys to bringing out the best in your employees. We've discussed the first two, and one is strategic praise and recognition. The second one is to increase collaboration. And the third one, you say, is a heavy one.
The third one's
heavy.
A heavy
one, tell me.
So the third one is what is known as the mission scorecard. Now, what's a mission scorecard? So a mission scorecard essentially has three components. So essentially what it is that every single employee is given a mission. So then the missions could be a department's mission. It could be that team's mission. And so often business owners will say, my company's vision or mission is this. And that's just too detached to the individual employee or the smaller team. It's too far away. So what you want to do with the mission scorecards, once someone joins the team, they're given this particular scorecard that is made up of three components. Number one is the mission of the position. So I'll give some examples shortly. So what's the mission of the position? So imagine the movie Mission Impossible, where Ethan Hunt, and you're telling him, so your mission, if you choose to accept it, except this case, they've got no choice but to accept it. So your mission is this. So they have a mission. It could be a one-year mission, it could be a three-year mission, it could be a five-year mission. Mm. It's something very exciting. So, for instance, let's say your mission is to help this team or this department go from 5 million to 15 million in 5 years. So that's a five-year mission. The second thing is, number two, is key outcomes. So what are the key outcomes that you must achieve which will tell you that you're well on your track, well on your way to achieving your mission? So if the mission was to achieve, say, 5 million in to go from 5 million to 15 million, so to do a 10 million increase in 5 years, then one of the key outcomes could be maybe generate 1,000 inquiries per year. Another key outcome could be get a 30% of the existing customers to return and buy again. So that's a second key outcome. So the main mission doesn't change. The main mission could be to generate an additional 10 million over the next 5 years or something like that. But the key outcomes can be very, very specific. Like if we can get 30% of our existing customers to come back and buy again, we're getting closer to our mission. If we can get 1,000 inquiries a year, every year for the next 5 years, we're getting closer to our mission like that. So that's what the key outcomes is. And then the third area is core competencies. A core competency simply means this. What are the core areas that this person must be competent in order to achieve the mission? So as a boss, you spell it out. You spell out, say, look, if you're going to achieve this mission of taking our company from 5 million to 15 million in 5 years, some of the areas you have to be extremely competent in, number one, could be social media, LinkedIn marketing or Facebook marketing, Instagram marketing. And then there could be another area to be competent in could be your conversion scripts. Sales scripts on how to convert a prospect into a customer and so on. So this scorecard becomes very, very clear because what does an employee have is an employee agreement. Mm. And that's just something you protect both sides and you chuck it on a shelf somewhere. Whereas the scorecard is something you continually refer to. And the person gets excited. Okay, look, everyone in this department, this is your mission. So everyone's got a mission. So now what happens now is suddenly the person has a purpose. In the company. If I go to any random company right now and I pick any staff and I ask them this question, what's your purpose in the company? They'll have a hard time answering the question. In fact, any employee listening right now, if you ask the question, what's my purpose in the company? You'll have a hard time answering other than some company goal out there. But really, if you really think about it, you're not fully engaged with the goal. But when it's a mission, then everything starts to change. So there's a scorecard, and now you're acting according to the scorecard, and this person could be rewarded as well for achieving things within the scorecard.
And I guess really at the end of the day, it's about being very clear.
Yes, having maximum clarity and purpose.
Right, but the moment when it's a bit fuzzy, that's why you get fuzzy.
And also, see, it's easier to be clear with the sales team, but what about the admin team, the accounts team? What about the production team? So that's where things get really big. So imagine a scorecard for a personal assistant. So you see, so it's not so simple. So you got to sit down and really think this through. So what's the mission of that position? So each person is joining a position and there's a mission for the position, not the person. The mission for that position.
No, when I'm listening to this, right? Okay, what about my job? Right?
Yeah.
So you would
need a mission. So what would be your mission? So you see, and your mission could be a year. It could be 1 year, it could be 3 years, it could be a 3-year mission.
And it has to be quantifiable, obviously.
Yes, exactly. So you probably would have to sit down with your boss and have a chat, say, I would like a mission, I want to work towards a mission. So what would be a mission? It could be anything. It could be, maybe your mission is to interview 1,000 people or something like that, or to have a certain rating for the show.
Actually, I do.
Yeah, you do. So there you go. So the thing is, what happens now is when an employee has a mission, they go to work differently. Mm. They are very focused. They're very excited. And most importantly, they're very engaged. With engagement comes performance. Mm. So you want to increase performance in a person, get them more engaged in your organization. And the mission scorecard does exactly that. So it's a brilliant, brilliant tool. Number four, so the fourth key, we looked at the first three keys. First key was strategic praise and recognition, where we looked at how to actually praise someone. Second is increased collaboration. We looked at getting everyone to win. Third, mission scorecard. Number four is relationship.
Hmm.
Now, Many companies forget this part, and this is a key. When you improve your relationship with an employee, their performance goes up. And again, there's a whole big area. This is a massively big area. There's so many things you can do to improve relationship. Let me give you one simple method. Teh tarik sessions. So what's a teh tarik session? It's so simple. You just take this employee and go down and have a cup of tea.
Not even Starbucks. That's it. See?
Teh tarik.
Cheaper.
Teh tarik better. So, but the thing is, it's not lunch, it's not dinner. Why? Mm. Lunch and dinners are very big commitments. Mm. Like, especially dinner. Now, they'll psychologically, you know, oh my God, I'm going to spend dinner with my boss. And, you know, it's just a big commitment. I'm like, what's he going to talk to me about? Is he going to fire me? He's going to freak out. So yeah. He's going to find all kinds of excuses not to make it.
It'd be at least an hour. Where's teh tarik? Could be 20 minutes.
Well, exactly. So you say, look, let's go have a teh tarik. And that's it. Now, you find that you can learn a lot about a person when you do that. When I used to grow teams of coaches, I would occasionally have teh tarik sessions with them. And I would learn a lot about their personal life, about this. And then I would appreciate the hard work that they're doing and you know, the struggle it is to get things to work or challenges they're facing with a client or something. And a lot of it will come out in an unofficial teh tarik relaxed session rather than an official meeting. So I tell my clients, I say, look, do this often. Do it often. I mean, of course, not every single day until that people get sick of the teh tarik session. But have lots of it. I mean, it's a great opportunity to build relationships. And see, just remember this one statement, this one Jeevan statement. Bonds are stronger when you care deeper. So okay. This is interesting.
That's a soundbite, huh?
Yeah. Bonds are stronger when you care deeper. It's I tell this to my clients. I say, think about it. When your staff know that you actually care deeply for them, then the bonds are stronger and their performance goes up. And again, in most cases, many people just don't care. Mm. So everyone has, this company is not their life. Everyone has a life and their job. They've got two things that they're juggling here. So take a look at that. I mean, spend some time to just understand that a little.
What's that? Actions speak louder than words.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so in relationship, there's so many methods, strategies. There'll be a lot of other shows where we'll go deeper into this. But
For now,
yeah, use a teh tarik session. You know, it's just so brilliant. And it's really fun. That's number four, key number four. And the final key number five, is a continuous improvement plan. So the Japanese would call it kaizen. Kaizen, you know, the Japanese, Japanese word for continuous improvement. Now, have a continuous improvement plan for every employee. Now, this plan, you can work on it together with them. So look, you join my company, I want you to continuously improve, and you work on it with them, and you keep the mission scorecard at the center of this plan. And you want to explore three things. Number one, you want to explore reskilling areas. What are some areas this person needs some reskilling? They are skilled, but they need some reskilling. Maybe the guy is a telemarketer. He needs to do another telemarketing course. Just update himself, reskill himself. What are some areas they need to upskill themselves? Upskill would be, you know, these they need to improve. Maybe the guy needs to be very good at Excel spreadsheets, and because it's affecting his work if he's not. So that's an upskill. Then third one, explore technology embracing. So what are some technology that this person must embrace? And especially for some of the older generations, they got to embrace technology, and many of them are rejecting technology. And they're rejecting it out of fear that it would be difficult. Mm. Not necessarily. So for instance, if you brought in a new CRM software and you've got teams rejecting it, don't get angry with the team. Look at their continuous improvement plan and talk to them on how they can embrace that technology and be really good at it. And maybe have someone to mentor them through the process. So when your staff realize that boss is serious about us actually truly improving and getting better, then the engagement gets stronger, and guess what? Boom, performance goes up. So the point here is to have a continuous improvement plan, not just say you need to continuously improve, go and find some courses and come back. So it doesn't work like that. If you leave it to the person, they'll say, well, there's no courses out there,
right?
So you sit down with that person and you plan it out. You say, so what are the areas? I mean, what are the reskilling areas? What are the upskilling areas? What are the technologies you need to embrace? I mean, have questions like that. So when you now put these five keys together, you see you're packing quite a punch to increase employee performance. A heck of a punch, actually. So you can do all five keys, but start somewhere. So pick one that's your favorite at the moment. Now, it could be strategic praise. Yeah, I think many might go there. It could be the relationship component, the teh tarik session. It could be increasing collaboration. Pick something, start there. Start with that first key and then build on the second key and build on the third key. And before you know it, you'll find that your employees are starting to perform tremendously. And it's a process. It's a journey. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's an exciting journey. And you want to be committed that by the end of the year, I have got some really fantastic performance in my team.
Thanks for being with us again, Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. 5 keys to bring out the best in employees. Of course, if you just missed this, you can always listen to us online with the podcast or download our app, which is even better. This is Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.